Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today I'm going to welcome back Deborah DeLisio and playwright Ty Pickett. We're going to be talking about acting, theater, being creative, and Ty's play, Tell Me About Your Daddy. He wrote it, and he is starring in it, one-man show, and Deborah directed it. It's really cool. Now, this is a recorded program, so please don't call in. Enjoy Deborah and Ty. Hi, welcome to the show, you guys. How are you?
Hi, we're great.
Yeah, we're doing fantastic.
Thank you for having us on.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you back, Deborah. We had a good time.
We do.
And Ty, for the first time, welcome to our little show.
Hello, my name is Ty. Nice to meet you
Pickett,
on the show.
And he's playwright and very talented. And to start, because it's been a bit of time for Deborah and Ty, this is your first time, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself so people will get to know you a little bit?
Sure, I'll start and be very brief because this is my third interview with Sherry. I'm just delighted because you support artists. You are an artist, and we need to get our voices out there. So I'm delighted to be something like my 40th year of being a theater artist as an actor, director, playwright, choreographer, and I am working with Ty Pickett on his second play. I'm delighted that he came back to work with me. He writes very edgy, dark comic theater that is, quasi-autobiographical, and it makes the audience confront their own thoughts about how we treat each other. So, Ty, why don't you talk about who you are?
I'm Ty. Ty Pickett. So this is my second play that I've written in my second year up at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Yay! I started directing theater at the age of 17. I ran a theater company in Washington. Then I did I directed another theater. Then decided to come to Los Angeles, where the Big Fish R, where I attended the American Academy of Dramatic Arts and met Deborah. And there we fleshed out my first show, Birdie, and now we're on to this one. It's very exciting.
How cool is that? Like Deborah's been on my show, this is her third time. She's a really amazing actress. She's a teacher. She's very...
And everything.
Knowledgeable about everything theatrical and film-wise and stuff. The industry is changing so much of late. How do you feel about both the positive of what's going on with Me Too and stuff like that and some of the other stuff that's been going on? do you want to a little bit about that?
Actually, I put some money to get into women in media this year because I'm also finally going to make a feature film that I have been writing for 5 years. And I was walking across the street in December and got hit by a car as a pedestrian in the crosswalk. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm healing, but still dealing with headaches. But the big lesson was, Deborah, get your work out there. Do it. So I joined Women in Media this year, and I just went to an event Friday night. And one of the questions that was asked was, okay, so the Weinstein outing happened 8 months ago. Any changes? and it was a panel of 6 women. And there was only one woman who was working in animation who said, actually, yes, there are more female showrunners being hired now. But the other women are still really sort of swimming, trying to stay afloat in the world of male filmmaking. And so, you know, I teach at 2 colleges, and many of my hours go out to my students. But I feel inspired by the Me Too movement that I just need to push aside my work as a teacher for a while and get my story out there, because it's a very much a Me Too story. So that's where I'm at with this. Ty, what about you and Me Too?
I like your male perspective.
You
hired me.
Yeah, well, I hired Deborah. Yes. Sorry, I have to think for a moment.
Yeah.
We are in a very important point in the industry where everything is shifting in ways that have been building for a very, very long time. I am disappointed that there hasn't been more immediate growth inside of the industry that is still very male-centric. It's still very power play. It's a massive power play. But I do see a shift in the mindset of the people within the industry who are not at the top. And it feels to me like, we look at the 60s and there's this, major shifts happening, and a lot didn't get done, but it did shift the mentality of the culture. And I do think there is a massive shift in the culture happening right now. People who will be moving up will not be as predatory as their predecessors have been. So that's massive. It's changing the culture from the inside.
If I may talk about a little bit about what we talked about, because I'm teaching a Saturday afternoon solo performance workshop right now, and Ty is in it, and he can't help it, even though he still is performing Tell Me About Your Daddy, but he's writing his next play, and he... You know the suicide rates? I don't know if you've seen, Sherry, but they're crazy right now. The suicide rates, we saw that after the celebrity suicides, we saw massive states, they've gone up. Ty is writing a dark comedy addressing that issue, but he also said, and Ty is a white male. He is not a straight male, but he's a white male. I hope I'm okay.
It's okay. I am a white male.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he said it's going to take a while for the power, for the white male power to die away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just wanted to quote what you said yesterday.
Yeah, and it's about persistence and solidarity. You can't change a culture all at once, but you can change a culture.
Yes.
And we are very much moving in a direction that is long overdue, like beginning of human history overdue.
And I'm very concerned that we're going to slip back with, we fought long and hard for marriage equality.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm worried that things can be changed so quickly for a woman's right to choose. So I don't know about you, Sherry, I feel a little impotent right now. I know I probably can take more action by literally volunteering for different candidates. I've talked to my students about running for office. I said, please get out there and run for office. And they're actors, and they're looking at me like, oh, what? I would never do that. But, you know, we have to do things like that. I was just in a play that was, I played the, I was only the only white person in the cast. And I really literally played the asshole white woman. And it was a play that was devised theater piece, and we did it at the California African American Museum. And it was about the disparity and the racism that has come to view so openly and in our country. So maybe it's a time of revealing the dark truths that are happening in our communities. And maybe that's the positive, but... I don't know. I do wake up and feel kind of like my hands are tied behind my back sometimes.
Well, it's fascinating to me that you brought up impotence in this, because it feels to me like we're getting a massive whiplash of the industry yelling, or just this the culture yelling back at us, but they're doing that because their underbelly's exposed, right? This feeling of impotence is fascinating, because right now is when you have the most power, because right now is when things are shifting, and
yeah.
right now is when it is most important to not be passive.
We have to be brave. You can't make change with silence. Mm-hmm. So we have to be brave. And so Ty's play is
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think that's one of the things that theater does, and that's what your play is doing and stuff like that, is that
yes.
Moving forward through if movies, TV, and theater are our way of expressing what is going on now and pushing the envelope, because it's the way to be the people the information, but not hit them on the head with it like the politicians do.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good way to phrase it too, because it's not we're not necessarily jarring or rejecting where things are right now, but we're moving through it to a world and a culture that we want to be in. By denying what is happening, we're giving it power, right? So it's important to acknowledge it and move through it to the next place.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yay.
I interrupted. You just made me think of that point, and so I had to spout it. What were you
mm-hmm.
going to say?
No, it's all good. There's a lot of dense data coming at us.
There
know?
Is.
This
and
is but it's about, you know.
We have a huge fight.
And it's a fight that shouldn't be happening, right?
I know.
But it is one that we have to be firm about. And, you know, I was talking in class yesterday how people are afraid of losing what they have. So people become quiet and they let whatever the powers that be are doing do what they want, because they don't want to lose what rights they have. But in doing so, they become a prey instead of standing up and becoming a target. And that by being passive, you lose more than potentially risking and losing everything. You know what I mean? Like going into the fight.
It's a very different.
And I think we're finding that now. I think we're actually finding, you know, there's a lot of despair. There's a lot of heartbreaking things, but that's because people are feeling like they're alone. And it's very important for us to reach out and let people know that they aren't the only ones feeling this way, and that as a unit, we can make change for the better.
That's true. It's very difficult time, and I think that's one of the great things about creativity, is that I think it flourished. I mean, the Renaissance came from the Dark Ages. So.
Absolutely, a need to change on a mass scale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe this is the new Renaissance.
I actually feel like we are. I feel a lot of good is going to be happening once this landslide slows down. There's a lot of people are becoming very aware of their situation and kind of the state of the world in a way that may ultimately help us survive as a species in the long run. That doesn't mean that I am happy about where things are going right now, but it is a slap in the face, if nothing else, you know?
Yeah. I don't like where it's going. I don't think anybody that has a conscience understands fully why it's going in this direction, but the only thing you can do is just keep on trekking toward what you think is right.
And that's absolutely it. And people will be screaming at you and throwing things at you and threatening you. And the moment you let up, that's the moment that they win, right? And it's not really a they versus us, because we are all on the same damn team. but people, there's a weird division of us and them that's happening, and when that hurts everyone in the long run.
And it's scary. It makes it really scary.
Very scary. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Scary.
No,
I was just trying to think, the scary is it.
What, the scary is me asking you a question?
I was like, oh, there's a lag. Okay, yay. What, now? Okay.
Lag is a pain. I thought maybe the scary was me asking you a question.
Oh, no. I meant there's a lot of scare right now, but the scary is a motivator, is it not? When our survival as a species, our survival as human beings, individuals, is threatened, we will stand up and do something about it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like survival for humanity, to me, it's not about just the species surviving, because, you know, the species can surely survive with the 1% controlling the 90%, you know, 99%, but to survive with kindness.
Yes, with humanity.
With humanity. This is what seems to be lacking. We're worshiping the corporate god, and people are kind of blindly following along. I think fear-driven, fear-based. You have to have faith. You have to have faith that people are generous and kind, you know, at their core. And, you know, I don't know. To me, I just have to do my best on my daily. It makes me happier. It feels great to do something good for yourself, but to do something good for other people lasts longer.
Yeah.
Trying to do that.
Well,
yeah.
And by doing good for others, it reciprocates back to you. No, it's a unit, right? It's what is that? Being selfish without being self-centered, where you understand that you have to take care of yourself and you have to take care of your neighbor, because if your neighbor isn't taken care of, you are not taken care of, and ultimately it'll bleed into you.
Yes, it does.
And the thing is that I'm a nut for space, and I've been watching this series called One Strange Rock. Will Smith is the host. And one of the things I learned from watching that is how attached humanity, all of humanity, is to this planet. We are so
we have nowhere else to go right now, right?
Right, and we have in the entire humongous universe. I mean, they have found thousands and thousands of planets, and they're still finding them. But all we have right now is each other. And if we don't learn to get along, humanity, as adaptive as we are, we're not gonna be here very much longer, because, you know, we can't destroy the planet and hope to survive, because we rely on the planet.
Exactly.
We're part of the planet.
Yeah.
Well, and that starts with treating each other with empathy, because if we aren't of each other, then, you know, we how are we going to support our planet, right? How can we heal our planet if we can't heal each other
right.
and heal ourselves?
Exactly.
Pretty basic. Yeah.
It seems very simple, but
it does.
It's difficult
in
the simplicity.
You know that old from the Bible, be nice to. I can't remember the exact thing, but be nice to each other. You know. Treat others as you would have yourself.
Yes. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
Thank you. That's
yeah.
And I think that's the most right now important thing there is in that whole big, huge double testament. That one line. Be nice to each other. Stop
mm-hmm.
being mean. And selfish, as you were saying. You tell him,
sorry,
puppy.
Dog. You're like, yeah, you tell him, puppy.
In other words, this is the Father's Day barbecue out here.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to the Daddy Show on Father's Day.
I want to give you some time. We're coming to the end. I want you to have plenty of time to talk about the play. Why don't you tell a little bit about what it's about and as much as you want to talk, we got about 15 minutes.
Okay, very cool. So the show is called Tell Me About Your Daddy, an irreverent analysis of the gay. And it's a comedy, I think. and it's a dark comedy about the need to label and objectify each other in order to feel like we have value. So the show opens in a TED Talk-esque seminar where the doctor, who is a modern Freud, is deconstructing gay archetypes. And he speaks in a heavy judgment that is seen within the own I'm tripping on myself.
Well, it's as though they are his specimens, and it's sort of like
without humanity.
Yes, it's like a TED Talk, but it's almost like a scientist who is using real people as his specimens to talk about their qualities and properties, and then he goes to male gay club, and that's like the laboratory,
mm-hmm.
and pits them against each other. And, you know, and it's like we're almost watching Wild Kingdom, like we're watching a documentary, Wild Kingdom, with the doctor, and he poses the premise of, do we need these labels in order to have identity and therefore survive?
That's fascinating.
Yeah, you know, light subject.
Very light, yeah.
Yeah, yes, and so it's very kind of Brechtian in ways where the doctor breaks the fourth wall and directly addresses the audience and says whatever it is that he's trying to prove, then the actual characters have no idea that they're being analyzed and scrutinized.
I love when characters break the fourth wall or when they are writing in a diary and you find out what's going on in their mind or something, anything that gives a little bit of the undercurrent to the audience. I think
mm-hmm.
that's like favorite parts of writing for theater.
Well, the doctor speaks about what he says the others are thinking, whether that's actually what they're thinking or not. So the doctor will go, well, this person is a twink, and he has no value other than being fuckable, and things like that, which are very drastic things. And, you know, speaking about the sugar daddy as a predator and the femme as this wearing war paint and flaunting his feathers and very aggressive things that to him are reality because he sees that is how we treat each other within our own subculture. You know, it's about we attack our own subcultures more viciously than anyone else. And just happens to be that I know the gay community. And they don't hide this. You know what I mean? This is a universal story. The gay community just happens to be the medium that I chose.
And you said you wanted to do a little bit of it?
Deborah said yes. Let me ask real quick. Sorry, I was like, oh, acting? Acting. Yay. What little bit should I do?
Maybe just the beginning, like the doctor welcoming the audience.
Okay, cool. Am I doing it now?
If you like.
I will be your speaker this evening, your doctor, if you will. Tonight, we shall address whether there is an innate need to label and objectify others in order to sustain a sense of self-worth. Your immediate reaction is, most likely, not me. I accept people just the way they are. That is a lovely sentiment. Is it true? And react to our surroundings. Does that not then make this a necessary process for survival? There we go. I was told to cut it off. None of the fun stuff was in there, but that is
that's
the core
that's
of the show.
That's a little teaser.
Yes.
A little teaser to bring.
And there's lots of penis jokes. So in case people are listening, there's penis jokes. It's funny. Come see it.
And what are the dates of the show?
We have three more coming up. We have June 18th, which is a Monday, which is before this is released. And June 26th. pardon me. And then the next one's June 21st at 11:30 at night. And then June 24th, which is a Sunday, at 7 p.m. We are at the Asylum at Studio C, which is 6488 Santa Monica in Hollywood. General admission is $12. Students and people within the fringe, it's $10. And seniors, and anyone Deborah shoves at me and says, let them in. And tickets can be found at hollywoodfringe.org/project/5129. They said the show is Tell Me About Your Daddy. And we can be found on all the platforms, I think. Mainly Facebook. Although we got shut down by Facebook for one of our ads because I had slut written on my forehead. And I was like, what? And so the reaction was, it was hate speech. I'm like, this show is against hate speech,
yeah,
but you have
show,
to highlight it.
Yes.
But that makes me an official artist now, right?
It gets shut down.
Right.
Oh, God.
And Ty is modest. Can I just say that he's had a couple of reviews, and the main, the shining that they give of why you should come this play is because of his performance. He is an amazing artist. He's been, I think someone said you were like Martin Short.
Ed Martin Short.
Martin Short. And I also think he's got a little Robin Williams in him. And he is a tour de force. He plays five characters. And he's physically so beautifully different and vocally. So for his performance, for the message of the play, it's really a worthwhile evening. It goes by very quickly itself.
And so if people cannot make it to this presentation, I'm very much hoping to launch it again in Los Angeles and then tour it to other Fringe festivals up and down the West Coast, preferably New York, hopefully internationally. So this is a show that will continue to live on because it's a very important.
And it has legs. This show has legs. And also, did you talk about your opening act? Taylor.
Oh, yes, Taylor. So we have an opening act that's very fun. It's Taylor Shell called A Vaginal Tragedy, where she talks about breaking her back and the
consequences.
The consequences. That's
a
good way of putting it.
It's a true medical tragedy, but she makes a stand-up comedy about the inconvenience that her vagina has gone through because of her back injury.
Oh, my God.
It's very funny. And that's the opening act, of course. So we go from vaginas to daddy. And we're hoping to have her up next year as well, in case she's listening to this. Taylor, you're going up next year. We're going to flesh her work out, too. I'm very lucky to be surrounded with such very talented and charismatic and compassionate women. And I cannot express it that much. I feel incredibly nurtured.
That's wonderful.
When I'm not breathing into a bag in a corner.
The daddy show, supported by the mommy.
It is.
Yeah.
It's really kind of quite amusing in that way.
Yeah.
I like it.
But yes, so people listening, if you want to launch my show too, let me know, I guess, right?
Did you give them the website?
Yes, we did the website.
Okay.
But yeah, as I
okay.
said, we're hoping to keep this up and going and running and
good.
Touring and, yeah.
And if anyone out there is interested in dabbling and then rehearsing and then writing and rewriting your own solo play, check out my website, Deborah DeLiso. Theater artist. What is it? I had to change it because it got ripped off. DeborahDeLisoArtist.com. That's what it is. And because I have ongoing solo performance workshops, trying to get Sherry in there one of these times.
Woo!
I'll probably be there talking about some crazy things.
I don't, because I've never done a solo show. I always do it with the least actors I've had in a show were four. I've never had a solo. I don't even know if I could do it.
Well, I'm sure you could play all four characters if you needed.
You'd have fun. It's terrifying exhilaration. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It's terrifying exhilaration is what it is.
It's beautiful, you know, and it's your body, your words, your everything. There's no hiding, and there has not been a single experience that I have gone through that has made me grow more as an artist and as a human being.
Cool. Cool. Well, that's a great way to end.
mm-hmm.
quite a great way to end. Lovely.
I know.
I like it. I want to thank you both for being on the show. Thank you so much. Everybody who can go see their play and support theater and Deborah's class and everything that's positive like this. Thank you.
And please
thank you
be
guys.
Compassionate
thank
you. To yourself. Yeah.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you.
Hope to see you soon.
Thank Woo. You. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Yay.
Thank you.